yesterday that Grayson Gordon, a freshman tight end from Green Hill High School in Addison, Texas, had an Instagram post by College Sports Only. I guess this is a recruiting site, College Sports Only, or something these parents play, you know, pay to have their kids exposed and all this kind of stuff. It's supposed for recruiting, not exposed. And it is announcing, with graphics everywhere, it's announcing that this ninth grade, guy could run ninth grade, he is flipped. But not his commitment. He was not committed to one school and flipped to another school. He has flipped his camp decision. So instead of going to Boston College camp, now he's going to Florida State's camp. And it's got on it, change of plans, camp flip.
And hold on.
You see this, graphics.
So parents pay for people to make these and post them on the website?
I think that, I'm guessing. Can you look up College Sports Only? See what these people do. This is, again, this is a ninth grade kid here. And apparently he's a pretty good player, I guess, but it's too early to know that. Who knows? But let me read to you. It says, change of plans, can't flip. It's got the Boston College logo, the Tallahassee logo. Before Boston College, after Florida State, he's flipped his camp decision. So the tight end is going to Tallahassee, Florida for camp now. Class of 2029, oh, by the way. Prospect camp on June the 14th in Tallahassee. Hashtag Noel. He's not announcing that he's committing from, for instance, commitment from Boston College to Florida State. He's announcing of a flip of a camp date. This is one step below the people that will say, big announcement coming tomorrow. Stay tuned. Or even worse than that, big announcement coming up October 1st. Stay tuned. And all the college fans go, well, what's it going to be? Is it going to commit to us? And then October 1st, a guy comes out and goes, on October the 20th, my announcement is on October 1st. On October 20th, I'll be releasing my top 20. Like, what? You're not committing? First of all, anytime you commit now, that's like, oh, huge news. You got to come to my press conference. It's like, wait a minute. What are you curing cancer? You're ending world hunger? No. I'm just telling you that the visits I might be taking, that they might be paying me to take. Big announcement. Like, what? Well, this kid, it's not even about recruiting. This kid's in the ninth grade. This guy announced he's flipping to camp. That's news? But who, have we just completely lost our way that we care about a ninth grader, what camp he's going to? Have we gotten to that? And then we're going to embarrass Boston College. We're not even going there now. We're going to Florida State's camp.
I mean, from what I've learned about the youth systems in hockey and soccer in America, yeah. I'm assuming that his parents are paying a lot of money to get him visibility. I mean, they might as well follow him around at the camps he goes to with a video camera and post online. I mean, that's at least you'll have something when he does not get a scholarship to a D1 college.
Apparently, like, he's a pretty good ninth grade player, but like, is he going to continue to develop? I mean, we're talking about he's in the ninth grade.
He's in the ninth grade.
He looks like he's about 8 years old. But and he goes to these camps, man. Like, we're sending kids to camps, like ninth grade, trying to get scholarships. My wife joked last night, my son and I were throwing a baseball in the yard. My wife joked about how at this point in time, we're really expecting, because he's already seven. And he's going to back into his baseball camp. We expect offers. We expect NIL deals being negotiated. He's seven already. It's time. Like, what in the teetotal heck are we doing? But how about the, and it, look, this is not this kid's fault. See, the parents' fault of this College Sports Only whatever thing that we make like it's a big announcement. And the big letters across it, flipped. Oh, remember when Will Muschamp was supposed to be the flipper? Oh, man, he's committed to Central Florida, but he's going to flip him to South Carolina so he can go win three games. The flipper. Who are we going to flip? This guy's flipping camps. You know what? I like to flip him. Flip his mom and dad. A bird. Who are you, man? Really? Really? Come on. On his Instagram page, number two Texas freshman tight end receiving yards last year. Varsity starter, ninth grade. That's great. Don't know what level is. Captain, H-back, tight end, edge, outside linebacker, strong safety, 6'1", 188. Class of 2029. First of all, he better be great if he's a captain as a ninth grader. You think if I'm a junior or senior and he got this ninth grade little snot-nosed punk coming in and take my captaincy, that's going to go over well with me? Come on, man. You really think he's a captain of his high school team in ninth grade?
There's no way he's a captain of a football team in Frisco, Texas. There is 0% chance.
That ain't happening. I don't know. I don't know how big the school is, Green Hill and all that.
Maybe this is this is an AI experiment.
Did we find anything about this college sports only? Has anybody looked that up?
Yes, college sports, they reposted, his name's Grayson Gordon, player.
Yeah.
They reposted his post making fun of him.
Oh, okay. Boy, oh boy.
But I did find it on Grayson Gordon's page.
Grayson Gordon, man.
He appears to be a real person. He also has his summer of 2026 camp schedule.
Oh, big news, breaking news when we released what camps we're going to.
But that's why they had to tell everyone that he flipped from Boston College.
Because other people are keeping up what camp he's going to this week. Where's Grayson? Where's the ninth grader going this week?
I don't know.
What a false sense of – you know how none of us have self-awareness and how we project ourselves? How about this cat?
I mean, his post from – this is May 28th with another – visual of his camp schedule, 6,300 views. It's probably people like me who are going here just trying to figure out why.
Yeah. Hey, Ray Michael says, only being a ninth grader, he's got plenty of time. Not only flip schools, he can flip genders. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to decide to be something else now. Yeah, we'll do that.
Man, okay, genders. I thought you said gingers.
Oh, no, we're not going to dye our hair and all of a sudden get tan or anything. No, we're not going that extreme. No way. That'll never happen. Texas said he got a Tesla on Twitter. Check his pen there. Yeah, I saw that. Is that a Tesla? Is that what that is? I can't tell. I don't have my page back up there. Good for him, man. The whole world stops. Let's give this kid the next 4 years. See where he goes. He better be Brock Bowers to demand this much attention.
Can he drive? Are you sure he just wasn't standing next to a Tesla? The kid's like 13 years old.
He can't drive yet. He got a car. He got a Tesla. That's what he needed to do on his recruiting visits now. Go to Texas where they offer you a Lambo. But instead, first, we'll offer you a driver's license. Or hey, if you can't drive at Texas, we'll just get you your own chauffeur, your own driver, until you can drive.
I'll give you driving classes.
Yes.
Something maybe Georgia should do.
We'll set things up to where we know the people giving the driving test, so you don't even have to pass the driving test because it's a big Texas booster. So we'll get your driver's license for you. Gracious, what in the world are we doing? 654 Roar, Delvin is up on our Pratt Injury phone lines. Good morning, Delvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Huh? Blessed, buddy. Very blessed.
Yo, Mickey, you said talking about crazy about the foot. This is going to be talking about they foot their official visits.
At least official visits are visits instead of camps. This guy's in the ninth grade. Yeah. He can't take official visits.
Yeah. Brandon, I was gonna call you about Big 12 suing.
Yeah.
Brandon Swanson. Now you tell me he going to the Summer Draft. I don't think there's no way. If he don't get drafted in the Summer Draft, he gonna try to follow up here to go back to play college football.
I mean, why not? And how about go play for a couple of years and then get cut? Oh, you can always come back to school now. Obviously, you can do it in the NBA and the D League and all that. Yeah, just go play as long as you want. You always got eligibility to remain at Texas Tech. Everybody knows that.
That's going to happen if we'll get drafted to Summer Draft. Yeah. I'm going to follow an appeal. What is the Summer Draft in June or something? So he'll have July to August. To
If he's not satisfied with his supplemental draft position, he can always go back. Sure.
Yeah,
everybody knows that. Hey, by the way, by the way, 0182 talks about the kid. He goes, he can just get an injunction. He doesn't need a driver's license. Just find a judge saying that I know that the state law is 15, but here the guy's in the ninth grade. He's 13 years old. We're going to give him a driver's license. Doesn't need a driver's license.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure, and me,
you talking about Mississippi State, and you talking about the president leaving. And you said, did you say the AD was leaving too?
AD is leaving.
He just got there, didn't he?
He's going to Kentucky now. I don't know when he got there. I don't know that.
Yeah, he got there. He did J Bat. He was at Georgia Tech. I think he got there a couple years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, Bat. Yeah, Bat's this guy's name. Yeah. So apparently there's dysfunction in East Lansing. And,
yeah, because he just got there. Because I was like, well, you said the AD was leaving. I said, man, he just got there 2 years ago, like a couple years ago.
Yeah, he's on the move. Apparently there's big dysfunction there, so everybody's kind of jumping ship. But will Izzo jump ship? I don't think so. But Izzo's.
No. Izzo's going to name himself the athletic director.
Here's the thing here. Izzo's the most powerful man in East Lansing now. You know, he got all this turnover, and everybody's mad at the board. Apparently, both these guys are really popular. Everybody's mad at the board now. So this is a chance. There's a void there of popular leadership. Izzo can step into that void now. Izzo is the most powerful guy in East Lansing.
Izzo's going to be the AD and the president.
He can do it.
And basketball coach.
He can do it all.
But I went to bed thinking I was gonna call you.
No.
About the Big 12 suing.
No.
Brandon Swanson and Attorney General, but he said no. And the word going around is that the backup is better anyway. Hammond, the kid who played last year was better anyway.
He's recovering now from this ACL thing though, and he's not gonna be ready in September. He's not gonna be ready. I don't think. I think they're talking about like October. So Texas Tech's got to survive with whoever the quarterback's going to be. Interesting times.
I don't think this is if you don't get drafted in the summer draft, because you know they've been talking about NFL, so they don't want to do it with the.
Yeah, that's the thing. What NFL teams will stick their neck out there for the guy now? You want that?
Yeah.
Smoke? I don't know.
And so you might follow up. I said this ain't over because I think he's going to try to follow up another appeal. So. I think the Big 12 going to threaten to sue again. Like, hey, you know we're going to threaten to sue you again.
Yeah, who knows, man?
I kind of like that, the Big 12 stuff, you know what I'm saying? The attorney general tried to threaten them. Then the Big 12 said, we don't care, we'll sue you. We're going to sue you, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just keep suing. Just everybody sue everybody.
Yeah, but, they were kind of crazy. So... Yeah, when I saw that last night, and I'm trying to get into the World Cup, but I can't get into it, man.
Well, look, I don't care about any of these other countries. They can go kick rocks. I don't care instead of kicking soccer balls. But the fact is, when the USA plays on Friday at 3 o'clock, tune in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's take care of it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for my call, man.
Thank you, Delvin. Appreciate the phone call. Uzbekistan can beat Afghanistan 16-2. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care that Spain fell apart. I don't care the Netherlands fell apart. I don't care about what France does there, England doesn't want. Don't care. Just give me the U.S. Let's watch this U.S. team dominate, and let's take care of it. So next time I really we'll watch and pay attention Friday, 3 o'clock, Seattle, Washington, United States, Australia. For you other soccer folks, I think it's great. I'm not telling you not to watch it. It's great. But me personally, life's too short. Not doing it. All right, let's take a short break. Speaking of World Cup, Dr. Milt Lauder talks about the World Cup and what it teaches us about teamwork. Teamwork makes dream work. Short break. We'll come back. A moment with Milt right after this.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts,
you're an idiot.
Let us know on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR.
To our guest lines, a moment with Milt, Dr. Milt Lauder, sports and performance psychologist, amplus.com. Good morning, Dr. Lauder. How you doing?
I'm great, Mickey. How you doing?
Fantastic. Where are you today?
I am in Greenville, just pulled into the office. So I'm local.
Awesome. Very cool there. I wanted to ask you a little bit. We've talked a lot about the World Cup here in the last week or two. The United States, unbelievable performance on Friday night. And interestingly enough, this is a subject on Amplos.com right now. I want to encourage everybody. The Growth Project is an amazing podcast. You and your team do an awesome job with this. But interestingly enough, you talked about what we could learn from the World Cup, what the World Cup teaches us about teamwork. And let's kind of walk through a little bit of that and why folks can go. And by the way, still – listen to the podcast because we're going to kind of preview it a little bit here, but I don't want to take away the whole story there. But all those.
Well, I think this podcasts. Is a little. I think this is a little growth spurt. So you know, a little bit of yes. me goes a long way. So yes. I think they've tried to limit me to about 3 or 4 minutes. But you know, to me, they were saying, "Hey, what are your thoughts about the World Cup and why does it unite or unify the world, and what can we learn from that and apply in our life?" And I think the main takeaway is the passion. Right, it's hard to accomplish something great without passion. And sports is a wonderful microcosm of life, Mickey, because it really unifies us and brings us together. And I think that's the challenge we all face in the world today. Imagine if we could all act like we're on the same team as humans or Americans. And so what I love are these teams coming together that they sacrifice for 4 years, and they're in different parts of the world. They probably, like, I don't know the game as well as I should. But to me, understanding that you got the greatest players in the world playing the greatest game, and their role may not be what they set out to be. It may not be the vision. They may be on the bench. They may not get on the field. But they are all focused on something so much bigger than themselves. And I believe we were created to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And so that's what I love watching is – the highs, the lows, the energies. How do these teams come together? How are they accelerating connection and chemistry? How do they respond to success? How do they respond to adversity? That's what I think is so wonderful to watch.
Well, and you do this. I mean, let's put it in our terms too. Our personal lives, we can do this. We can certainly be called to something bigger than ourselves, and our business life. You know, those that get together, these companies have these great cultures. I think we can see it. So you can see the parallel there, and how we can use this great example to help us in our own personal deals?
Well, yeah, because I think there's a very clear goal. We're going to win the World Cup. And most of us in life, even in business, don't have a goal that is paramount for 3 weeks. This is all we're trying to accomplish. But I think what is so sad in our work, Mickey, is we travel around and work with companies and work with individuals and work with sports team around how much intentionality they put into putting the team together, understanding the strengths and weaknesses of the team, identifying what kind of player finds success, what are the characteristics, how do they want to show up, what does it mean to compete, what are our core values, what is our vision. They spend all this time and effort, energy in the sports world. A few businesses do that really well, but very few people do it well in life. And it just always reminds me of that quote from John Wooden that I use so often is, make sure we don't get so busy making a living that we forget about making a life.
That's so powerful. And he's one of my favorites ever anyway. So anytime you do John Wooden, I stop. I get my pen, and I'm writing that one. But I got that one down for you. I heard a great podcast the other day, and they were talking about how this idea of team, right, and this idea of using your strengths inside your team, inside your company, inside your family, and knowing your weaknesses. And, you know, Coach Wooden was so good at that. But the podcast also focused on that the opposite side of that is that the most miserable people on earth are the ones that are self-centered and don't have something bigger than themselves, because you get so caught up in your deal and what's, you know, about you rather than us kind of a thing. And he went on to say, by the way, from a biblical standpoint, you know, this is what Abraham's deal was, that God called him to something bigger and called him away from his comfortable yes. life at a very late age, obviously. But called him to be something bigger than himself.
And I think that's what's so beautiful. We talk about that stress makes you selfish. Stress separates you from others. It separates you from the things you can't control. It separates you from your strengths. It separates you from your purpose. It separates you from your vision. And so what are some great antidotes to stress that we talk about all the time is gratitude is a great antidote. Grateful for who you are and what you have. That's why homegrown is so important. I have everything I need and nothing that I don't. To me, it's amazing sometimes, Mickey, the things we will do for other people that we won't do for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. What, and so.
Oh, go ahead.
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
But I think that sacrifice, you know, that comparison, that oftentimes we compare ourselves to others that we think have it better than, or sometimes it's this area of superiority. We compare ourselves to others who we think has it worse than us. And we kind of prop ourselves up and build ourselves up. And one of the reasons, you know, I look at Amplos and I look at my career, always trying to be around people who complement my strengths. And one of the reasons we joined Elliott Davis is it's a place where we are able to maximize our strengths and minimize our weaknesses. And I think that's, you know, is your family is a little bit different because that's who God gives you. But as you're choosing to engage friends, you're choosing your work, you're choosing your team, like what kind of people do you really enjoy being around? What inspires you? Who inspires you? How are you learning? How are you growing? How are you sharing? How are you mentoring? I think that's the part of the puzzle that we can learn so much from these teams.
I love this idea. I'm going back to a sermon I heard on Sunday, and it was about Peter saying that, you know, that you identify, you know, who are you first, you know, and it's this idea that that's what teams do such a good job of. The best coaches do this is we set apart our identity, like this is who we are, this is what we're about, and we kind of build around that, and we build around strengths and build around weaknesses. But I mean, you got to know who you are and what you're about. You got to have some principle in there. You got to have a standard right off the bat. And so I love that idea. Now watch the soccer team, this United States soccer team. Man, I know their identity now. They're athletic and they're quick and they're aggressive and they're organized. Like to seeing that in soccer is a really cool thing when it works. But talk to me about that in our personal life and our business of, man, we got to identify, what do we want to be? Who are we? What are our strengths and what do we want to be?
Yeah, that's the essence of playing free. When you know who you are, and you know what you believe, and you have the courage to live and play according to what you like, that's true freedom. And so too many times we try to play another man's game. We try to live another man's life. We try to live up to the expectations of others of how we think we should be or what we should do instead of just taking time and effort and energy. Who was I created to be? What are my gifts? What's truly important to me? What is my vision? How am I keeping my dreams greater than my memories? And do I have the courage, and do I have people around me encourage me? Like that's a little bit what leaders do as well, Mickey. Yeah. And we got Father's Day coming up. That's what fathers do. They see something in their children, or leaders see something, or coaches see something in others that they've yet to see in themselves, and they find a way to bring it out and mold it and encourage it and shape it and guide it. And I think that's, you know, as we get older and older, we live in this isolation, and men especially aren't willing to be vulnerable. They aren't willing to ask for help. They aren't getting the kind of feedback that really shapes them and sharpens them. And they lose their vision and they lose their purpose.
Very interesting other side of this. You talk about losing it. How do you lose it, and what do you, you know, when you don't know? Because it seems to me pretty simple, the ones that are great at it. But what advice would you have for someone who's not great, who just doesn't know, kind of wandering, some teams or coaches or organizations or individuals? Like, what advice would you give? How do you find that? How do you find who you are? Seems like a simple, you know, concept, but what if you don't know that? What if you don't know? What if you can't define that?
Yeah, I think that's the stage of the world right now. It's why so many men at our age are, you know, committing suicide and turning and running away from things. And so, you know, for example, if you're struggling right now, what I've always told our football players when I had a player come to me who was thinking about leaving or thinking about quitting football, I would say, here's my job. My job is, one, to make sure we're making decisions from a position of strength, not a position of weakness. And so I got to get you to a better position. I got to get you to a better headspace. I got to get you better mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally and relationally and behaviorally. And part of that, Mickey, is understanding who you are, what's important to you. How do we get your brain working for you instead of against you? What are your values? What are the words you want to describe you? What are the variables that are present when you're at your best? These are all the questions that I would ask that hopefully I'm asking of myself. What's your why? What's your purpose? Like, all those questions start shaping you and inspiring you. And we got to pay attention to those times in our life, but we've kind of been walking in our purpose and walking from a position of strength. That's the first piece, is we got to make sure we're working from a position of strength. And the second part, what I would always tell our players is make sure what we're running to is greater than what we're running from.
Yeah.
And I don't think we take the time. Like, we just, like, we want to avoid the pain. And so we're constantly running away from maybe the very thing that could help us grow. And I think that's, you go back to the World Cup, what can we learn about success and adversity? How do they respond to failure? How do they respond to defeat? How do they respond to not even making the team? But I think that's what I would hope I would encourage people or companies who have just got so transactional in nature, or the coach who's just so focused on winning, or the player who's just so focused on getting to the next level, or the family who's just in survival mode in terms of trying to make a living and busyness and stress and raising children and financial and health. I mean, all those factors are just part of life. But giving yourself permission to understand those challenges, but the freedom we have in being human is giving ourselves permission to make a different choice, to respond in a different way. That's why vision is so important. That's why having worthy goals are so important.
I was talking to a coach about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, and we're talking about the transfer portal. And we're talking about how these kids, they're running away. You mentioned running away. And, like, man, that mirror still goes at that new school. Like, there's still that mirror in front of you. And so many of your issues are still there, and you can't outrun those. But I want to give you a chance to wrap this thing up on a very positive note here. To watch the Ryder Cup, to watch the Olympics, that Olympic hockey team. Now, to watch this USA soccer team, I read a stat the other day about patriotism's on a decline. I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like it in those stadiums. And so my point through all that is, like, yeah, politically we can be divided, but in sports it is such a great uniter. And we do it in orange and purple or red and black or garnet and black, whatever it might be. But, boy, why is that? Why is that that bond, man, that tie that gets us so much passion that we're seeing right now in this World Cup?
Well, I think that's why the companies that really do it well and the teams that really do it well, they capture that vision. They capture that spirit that we are not focused on ourselves or what I don't have or how I should be treated or all the negatives. There's clear vision. There's clear goals. There's clear passion. And there's clear energy around who we are trying to become and what we are trying to accomplish. And then, unfortunately, the rest of life, we don't live with that kind of clarity. And it's that dull, bald, dreary day, as Oswald Chambers say, that takes away our burning heart, that takes away our passion, that takes away our desire. And so that's a little bit of, you know, we're coming up on 250 years, and
yeah.
I'm going to do a podcast on, hey, how great America is, and I'm not going to minimize the challenges we're facing, but we lose sight that we are still the greatest country in the world, that we have the freedom of speech, that we have the freedom to our differences. But without that vision, we're focused so much on ourselves and what we don't have. And I think that's what these teams represent, playing for their country. There's clear vision. There's clear goals. There's clear purpose. They know what they really want, and they know what they're willing to give up to get it.
All right, final one for you. Have you seen this guy, Freddie, the German guy on Twitter? Have you seen it? Have you followed this account at all?
Unfortunately, I'm not active on social media. I have not seen him.
All right. I know you're not. I'll we might even spend a whole time on this at some point in time. You talk about how great the country is. It's a guy, he's from Germany. He's a big soccer fan. He's coming over for like a 6-week United States tour. He's going to German soccer games or whatever. And he lands and he's going through. He's not going to Mount Rushmore or to Manhattan or to Yosemite or Yellowstone. He's going through Gainesville, Georgia. And he's going through, you know, he climbs Stone Mountain. Anyway, and he goes to a Bucky's, and he goes to a Bass Pro Shops. Anyway, but he talks about how nice the people are and how beautiful the place is. It blows up. And J.J. Watts had him in Houston now. The Saints and the Pelicans had him in. Ella Langley, who he mentioned about being a fan of her, never heard of her. Well, she's going to meet him in a backstage concert. But bottom line is this. The beauty of it, he reminded us Americans who – here's a European guy who's told how bad America is, and even half our people in this country tell us how bad we are all the time. And this guy comes over and he goes, man, this place is great. And it took this guy to remind us, this is great. We complain and we got problems, but it's still less than anybody else. Like, it's a really cool story.
Yeah, 100%. And so I think we just lose perspective. I mean, you can see it in marriages. You see it in companies. You see it. You mentioned the transfer portal. We just lose perspective, and we think my life's going to go be better if I do something else, if I live somewhere else, if I get it back. And I'm not saying that it will not, but we don't do the work from within, and we don't have gratitude for who we are or what we have. And I love his perspective is he's touching all of America and all of that. So I look forward to seeing that.
The one thing I do know, buddy, I got everything I want. I mean, everything I need and nothing I don't. Thanks to you.
Amen.
Tell me about Amplos.com, what you guys are doing.
Oh, Mickey, again, it's just exciting opportunities. And I think that's, you know, when you sit back and I hear my words today and thinking about vision and purpose and sacrifice and, you know, we're in a different transition, but our purpose has not changed. We're still trying to help people be better and pursue better. And so just really excited about those opportunities. I am, if I can give us a little bit of a, you know, shout on the horn, I'm heading down to Orlando, Florida tomorrow night. We're nominated for an award in the life sciences space. It's called L10 for the work we've done with a pharmaceutical company called Neurelis that we've been pouring into their leaders and their people for the last 3 years around a lot of the concepts we present on this show around the mental skills that make you successful in sport and business, make you successful in life. And so we've been nominated for an award down there. So excited to kind of get down there and see other people doing some of the things we're doing.
I love it. Amplos.com. Safe travels, and can't wait to talk to you again here very soon.
Thank you, Mickey. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Milt Lauder. A Moment with Milt. Short break. Open phone lines when you come back right after this. Meaning, he didn't like chili. He didn't care what the price of chili is. He didn't eat chili, didn't like chili, and if chili goes to $100 a bowl, it doesn't matter to him. And so I don't understand the outrage of, oh, man. Well, the outrage anybody's going to make money or do anything big-time money that so many people to get. Like with Elon Musk, but that, it's this big, huge deal. We're just so outraged this guy can make his money. It doesn't affect me, pal. Sorry. I can't get upset with something that doesn't affect me. I can have fake outrage. But here's the bottom line. The full season tailgates, as little as $5,000, as much as $20,000. I'm not going to afford that. I can't afford that. I'm not going to do that. So knock yourself out. There are people who would do it, and they'll have a great time. Good for them.
And looking at the price, this is a lot of people are not considering. The donation level, the money that you have to donate to get access to a tailgate spot in this area,
yeah,
is so much more than $5,000 a year. And I'm...
Now, you don't park there, though.
Correct.
So you got to park somewhere else. But you can drop off. There's a drop-off spot.
Yes. So you park somewhere, you walk over there, everything's set up for you. You just got to bring whatever you want to put in the cooler, essentially.
Here, there's four different packages for the full season, according to the website of... Reveal XP or REVELXP.com. Number one is for the full season tailgates that the varsity level. Varsity level, $5,025. Exclusive tailgate location, up to 10 guests. Cleanup and setup and cleaning included. So with this, you've got exclusive tailgate location, up to 10 guests. Cleanup, setup included. On-site concierge, designated drop-off location, one 10x10 tent set up already set up for you, one 6-foot table with linen, five chairs, and one 20-quart cooler with ice. On the Letterman package, which is $9,095, this is the same thing, except you get two coolers, you get two 6-foot tables, linens, you get two 10x10 tents, and up to 20 guests. For the All-American package, at $13,750 for the season, up to 30 guests, three tables, three chairs, 15 chairs, three tents. And then the highest level you can have, up to 40 guests, this is the club level, this is $19,650, 40 guests. A TV included with this one, by the way. So 43-inch TV and four coolers, three cocktail tables, 20 chairs, three 6-foot tables of linen and drop-off and all that other stuff. But 40 guests and a TV. And there are, look, I got friends of mine that are fortunate enough not to look at price tags and if people buy this up. Convenience-wise, I get it all. I don't blame anybody on any of this. And again, I do get people's resentment. Anytime there's stuff that we can't do or can't afford, man, I get the resentment of it all.
I would never pay for this, but that's because I am
right.
A cheapskate. Like, I literally am the cheapest person in the world.
Right.
When it comes to certain things, at least.
Right.
Another thing that I don't get the backlash, quote unquote, it hadn't been enough time to really judge what the perception of this is, but this is literally what every tailgate at Ole Miss does. And I know a lot of people don't like talking about Ole Miss and the comparisons and all that, but the tailgates at Ole Miss they're a lot ritzier than most of them at Clemson. The common man has a much nicer tailgate at Ole Miss because they do not pay for parking spots. It's first come, first serve, and you pay this fee to a third party, at least in the past you did, and they would set all of your stuff up for you as soon as that, as soon as you're allowed to go in there and claim spaces. So this, I don't see this as ridiculous. I would never do this. I'm not interested. This is not chili for me.
Right. You don't care if a bowl shows $1,000 a bowl.
I don't care because I don't care. If this was $1,000 for the entire season, I still wouldn't be doing it.
Here's a win-win situation for me. Number one, it's a win for those that can afford it and like it and do it and want to take care of it. That's great. It's another win in that the university's raising money. And the athletic department's raising money. And, you know, you got to have money because you got to have rev share because, like I said, you got to pay athletes money now.
And they're not taking your tailgate spot and pushing you out. They created this
right.
space.
This is a new space.
No one's
That's
ever
right.
had these tailgate spots. Just because you're not paying, people are going to, and it's going to fund NIL. This right. is a win-win.
Absolutely it is. And so we're in revenue creation mode. And I want to get you into that thought process rather than resentment mode. Watch this whole Elon Musk thing, man. And I've commented on Twitter. I'm happy for the guy, man. He made 4,400 millionaires the other day, man. I want people to make as much as they can and enjoy life. I'm not resentful because somebody's got more than me. I'm happy for them. I got everything I need and everything I want. Not everything I want, everything I need. Good for them, man. Good for them. You're not going to have everything. I preach to my 7-year-old all the time. Let's be thankful for what I have instead of worry about what I don't have. You know, other people have this, other people have that. Well, good for them, man. They worked hard for it. Elon Musk did a great job. He's a smart guy. He risked a bunch. I'm happy for him. For the folks that will be able to tailgate and have this unbelievable experience of tailgating for them, I'm happy for them. I won't know anybody over there. But I'm happy for them, man. Good for them. And I'm happy for the university that they get to raise some money, this athletic department raise some money that takes the less of a burden or more, you know. Maybe might put it this way, might win another football game instead because you might get a second-team offensive guard now instead. Anyway, that is the stacks. It's going to be interesting to see what it all looks like and how it all works out. When we come back, I want to talk some World Cup. I want to talk some college baseball. But I've got a different take about Clemson football recruiting. Tiger's going to get more commitments this week. And there's a role reversal here that Dabo Swinney – actually, it's two role reversals we'll talk about that Dabo Swinney staff have taken advantage of. Love to hear from you. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Or Adams & Co. Roofing text line 654-ROAR, 654-7627. And if you really want to make friends of the show, you can invite Will Clanton to your Stacks tailgate and give him access to all that. We'd love for you to return. Will Clanton, Mickey Plowler, hour number three, when you come back after a very short top of the hour break.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show?